My name is Anthony. For those of you who don't know me, that is our next series called Essentials. I want to encourage you. It starts next week. There are cards at the door. You can invite your friends and family. You're not going to want to miss that. So I just want to echo what Pastor Chris said. Make yourself feel right at home. Have that donut. Have that bagel. It's Memorial Day weekend. A lot of great things happening. Memorial Day, it brings up a lot of feelings for different people. We do want to take a few moments to thank those who have served. And, you know, I recently know it's not Veterans Day, but we recently lost my grandfather. And my grandfather was a medic in Korea. And one of the things that I always remember that he used to tell me were his stories of his service in Korea. And even as a young child, he would tell me stories after stories and share with me different experiences. And I just became passionate about it, and I became passionate about what was happening over Korea. And it's probably one of the reasons why I've led a team for the last 5 years to go to the Korean Peninsula to work with an organization, one of our global partners called Liberty in North Korea. And one of the cool things that we get to do with Liberty in North Korea is that they have rescued over 700 refugees out of North Korea and got them safely into South Korea or here in America. And they're a wonderful organization. And one of the things we get to do when we go over there is we get to spend time with them and learn about their story. And sometimes we get to do like a cultural exchange. And, you know, we get to learn some North Korean games and they get to learn some American games. It's a lot of fun. This one particular individual that I got to meet was a guy named Nathan. And that's the American name he chose for himself. And Nathan's got an incredible story. He escaped North Korea. And he, with his wife, who was pregnant at the time, and it's a minimum 3,000-mile journey from North Korea down through China in through Southeast Asia, where they can resettle safely. And Link worked with them every step of the way. And Nathan came in, and Nathan met me the first time, and he didn't speak much English. We had a translator with us, and he found out I was from New York and New Jersey, and all he said was, "Yankees!" And I said, yes, sir. Yes, that's where we're at. And we just started this relationship there. And you know, he didn't really know how to interact with me. And he'd been raised to not trust Americans. And so after about the third or fourth time of going back there, we were invited over to his house. And one of the things that Link wanted us to do was to prepare for him a typical American lunch. And so we did. Hot dogs, French fries, and s'mores. America. And after we were in our stupor a little bit and we were talking and with our translator, he asked me a question I'll never forget. He said, "Anthony, I just got to know. Why do you care? Why do you care about us? Why, you know, we were taught, we grew up hating Americans and we've gotten to know you and we like you and we just want to know, why do you care? Why do you travel thousands of miles to be out here?" And I was a little taken aback, and I remembered something that we say in CORE. That's our membership class here at Hoboken Grace. And we share this verse from 1 Peter 3:8 that says, "You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward one another, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds." And I just remembered that passage, and I just remembered that phrase, "You should be like one big happy family." And one of the things that happened for Nathan in the journey was that he met some missionaries along the way, and they led him to know who Christ was, and he's, you know, been learning about the Bible and learning about his walk with Christ. And I said, "You know what, Nathan? You know, when you accepted Christ into your life, you and I became family." And the fourth and fifth time that we've come back, he's been like, "Brother!" And then he tells me that we're twins. So, you know, he's one of my favorite guys. But it's just such a profound moment in my life. And I always hearken back to that verse. And you know, it's interesting to think about that phrase, that we're a family. It's something that comes up over and over and over again in Scripture. And And today we're specifically looking at one of my favorite books, and it's actually not really a book, it's a letter. And it does a beautiful job of illustrating not only that we're a family, but what we're supposed to do with that knowledge. And in it, it's called the Book of Ephesians. And like I said, it's really actually a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote. And Apostle Paul's got a fascinating story. If you don't know, he hated Christians, he persecuted them, and then he had this incredible encounter with God. And not only did he become a Christian, but he ended up planting a lot of the churches, and then obviously writing a lot of the New Testament, and so it's just an incredible story about how God never stops pursuing. And in this particular letter of the Ephesians, he's writing, and it's interesting. It doesn't seem like a very personal letter when you read it. Not that it doesn't have a lot of things that are personal in it, but the reason it's very specific and he's very intentional with the way he's writing is because this particular letter was meant to be passed along to other churches and other believers as a form of encouragement. So it's not just written to the church at Ephesus. It's meant to be read and it's meant to be taken to the other churches in the area. So it's been written to other believers, other followers of Christ. And if you're here today and you're not sure how you feel about this whole Christ thing, or you haven't walked into this relationship with Christ yet, or somebody invited you and you're just like, I'm not really interested in this whole Christ thing, this letter is for you too. I don't want you to just tune out for the next 4 hours, okay? I want you to really just kidding. Just want to make sure you're with me, all right? But, you know, this letter is for you too. In fact, it may be one of those letters, those most important letters that you read if you're wrestling about whether or not to follow Christ. And because no matter where you are on your journey, right? No matter if you've been walking in this relationship with God for a while or you're just walking into this relationship with Christ now, we can all agree that we need encouragement. And not just encouragement like, you know, you go get them, tiger, but we need to be encouraged when times get tough. When we find ourselves in situations that we'd rather not be in. You know, maybe we've a physical ailment or an illness that we're working through, or we're suffering through the loss of a loved one, or we're working through an addiction, or we're coping with a breakup or a divorce. Throughout the times in our lives, we interact with these things in different ways. And in Ephesians, Paul is writing this letter as an encouragement to these churches, to these believers who are scattered, to say, listen, you know, I want to encourage you. And he himself was facing his own set of trials and tribulations. He was in Rome, and he was most likely chained either to a wall or to a Roman guard, right? He's getting older, his health isn't great, and he's writing this letter. But at the core of this letter, it's about taking the situation you are in and telling them how they can go about caring for one another. And he starts off the letter this way in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He said, God has decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God has decided to adopt us into his own family. Now, some of you may not know this, but I am actually adopted. I, as a baby, I was adopted by Julie and Steve Reimer. I didn't adopt my parents. They adopted me. And since my parents have the last name Reimer, I became a Reimer. I attend the Reimer family dinners. I attend the Reimer family reunions. I'm a Reimer. A chimer, dimer, and a timer. I'm a Reimer. Right? And when the teacher called Reimer in class, I would raise my hand because I am a Reimer, or sometimes they would say Reimer. But on that day that I was adopted, I became the child of someone. I was brought into that family. And what Paul is saying here at the beginning of Ephesians, he says, listen, when you become a follower of Christ, you were adopted into God's family. And that's why we're called Christians. because we are named as the one through whom we're adopted. And some of you said, you know, when I said we're a family, you kind of started shifting a little uncomfortably in your seats. Because with family comes all sorts of things. We remember good times, bad times, tough times, all sorts of things, times that we would like to forget. And a family goes through all sorts of ups and downs, but no matter what, that there is a bond that runs deep, and you care for the people in your family. You care for their well-being. And when you get into fights, sure. Will there be disagreements from time to time? Of course. Can it seem overwhelming? Absolutely. But what we're looking at it in an interesting way, and what Paul is trying to teach us in this letter is that we have to understand that we are a family and that we in that family can care for one another in tough times. And in a family, it's not just one person caring for the lot, right? I mean, you know, it's not always the parents caring for the children. Sometimes as we get older, it's the children caring for the parents, or sometimes it's a sibling that has to care for other siblings, or an aunt, or a cousin, or an uncle. And so we see that this family cares for one another. And then when you look around this room right now, what you will find is it's filled with people who are part of your family. Well, now, Anthony, you're crazy. I mean, I can barely care for myself and my own family, let alone all these people. Well, you're right. You have one part right. You can't care for all these people. I can't care for all of you. As much as I am overly empathetic and I want to, I can't do it. Pastor Chris can't do it alone. The elders can't do it alone. Well, Anthony, I mean, isn't the church supposed to care for me? Well, yeah, the church is, but the church isn't a building. I mean, this isn't a church, your typical church building. Basketball hoops, frightening paintings in the hallway. You know, God didn't create a building when he said the church. God didn't create an organization. He created a living organism, which is why oftentimes the church is referred to as a body, because we are a living, breathing organism. And it says here in Colossians, another Paul letter, that the church is a body of believers. It says in Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is the first in everything. So Paul keeps hearkening us back to this truth and saying, listen, as a body, as a church, as a family, we have to take care for one another. We have to watch out for one another. We have to fight one another. We have to encourage, not fight one another, fight for one another. We have to encourage one another, all right? And throughout this book of Ephesians, Paul is trying to show us that we need to care, that we need to encourage, that we need to pray for the believers who are facing tough things in their life. And it's in these final words in the book of Ephesians. So he spent the time in the book of Ephesians. It's not a very long book. I want to encourage you to read it this week. It's about 6 chapters. And at the end of it, right, which is typically called the benediction, all right, and a benediction is a fancy word for a prayer, and it's a greeting or a farewell prayer that he tells us, listen, I've done all this stuff. I want you to understand that you're a family. I want you to understand that you're going to care for each other. But he says, this is how you're going to do it. And he says it in the end. These are the last words of the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. He says, to bring you up to date, Tychicus, that's his name, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I am doing and how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and a faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. And may God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. First, we meet this guy named Tychicus. And in it, he gives us a great a great example of how we can be caring, okay? So Tychicus, this isn't the first time we actually meet Tychicus. He's introduced to us in the book of Acts, right? And we see that he has accompanied Paul along his missionary journey. So he's been with Paul for a while. And not only did he accompany Paul on his missionary journey, but here he is tending to Paul, caring for Paul while he is in Rome, all right? And it's interesting. It's not, we don't just hear about him in Acts and in Ephesians, but we literally almost hear the same thing about him in the book of Colossians. And that is in chapter 4, 7 through 8. He says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. So in both places, in his letter to the Colossians and in the letter to the Ephesians, he says, you know what, Paul, Tychicus is a dear and beloved brother. Now listen, he could have just called him a brother, right? This is my brother, right? But he says beloved and dear. I mean, this is a guy who accompanied him along his missionary journeys and who visited him and cared for him while he was in jail. And it shows who Tychicus was. He was a warm man. He was relational. He wasn't insensitive. When Paul used that word, the dear and the beloved word to describe Tychicus, people would be like, yeah, Tychicus, that is a great guy. You know, and it's fun. Say his name, Tychicus. 1, 2, 3. It's fun. You can't help but smile. Right? Tychicus. Ah, that guy. It's interesting. How would people describe you? How would people describe you? Well, Anthony, not many people in the church know me. Well, is that our fault? Because, interestingly, in here, he says, to bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report of what I'm doing and how I'm getting along. Part of caring for one another is we have to be informed how we're doing. How do we do that? Well, first and foremost, we got to get to know one another. We say it all the time. We're created to connect. We're created to connect with God, and we're created to connect with others. We are called, when we walk into this relationship with Christ, we are called to love God first and foremost and to love others. How are we supposed to do that if we don't connect with God and connect with other people? It's very hard to love somebody if you don't know them. And what he's calling us to here is part about keeping, is telling people that we got to connect. And that's why we're big on that word. It's not just because it's a fun word. Connection points, connection cards, connection events. The head bone's connected to the tailbone. No, it's not. Whatever that is. We're big on connection here because that's what it takes to get to know one another. And twice, Paul repeats and says to Tychicus, we will let Ephesians, he's basically letting the Ephesians know, listen, Tychicus will tell you how I'm doing. Tychicus, his dear brother, faithful servant, will tell you everything so that you may know how I'm doing. I'm sending him for this very purpose so that you may know how we are. We have to know how we're doing. And we use that phrase a lot. It's almost become like a throwaway. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. Great. You want to get a donut hole? Sure. Fantastic. What would it be if we actually meant that question? So often we ask that question, hey, how you doing? And we're not really looking for a response. And on the other side, we're not really wanting to give that response. But what would it be? Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. No. How you doing? How are you really, really doing? You have no idea what the power it is to just listen to somebody and to say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you. How you doing? It's one of the ways that we show that we care. Yesterday, me and a friend of mine visited another friend of ours who happens to be in prison, and he's been in prison for the last 4 years. And every time we go down there, it's almost the same thing. We get about an hour and a half to 2 hours with him, and he just talks for 2 hours. I literally don't say more than 5 words, and if you know me, it's incredible. But he just tells me, and he talks, and he talks, and he talks, and he tells me what's been happening, and he tells us what's been going on, and then literally almost like 10 minutes after we leave, we get an email from him through the system that says, you know, I just want to thank you. I'm just so encouraged when you guys come, and I just want to thank you for speaking into me. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say anything. But it's amazing what it can be is if we're just there to be able to listen to somebody, to be able to care for somebody, to say, listen, I want to know how you are doing. Second thing that this Tychicus guy shows us is that we have to encourage. So not only is it enough to care, to ask how you're doing, but we have to encourage. And he says, I'm sending to him this with very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. In Colossians it says, so that he may encourage your hearts. And literally this word for encourage means that he comes alongside. Right? And in these situations, Paul knew that believers were sometimes, when they're going through difficult situations, at times we're going to lose heart. And listen, I'm a pretty jovial guy, right? I'm a pretty happy guy most of the time. In fact, we received a message the other day in which the person didn't know my name, and so they just referred to me as Pastor Chubby Happy Man. So I got that going for me, right? So that's the outward appearance that I give to people. I'm like, thank you very much. But that doesn't mean, no matter what's going on the outside, that doesn't mean that there are times that I need encouragement. That I'm working through something. And encouragement, and if you, we just got out of a series called The Love Project, and I want to encourage you, if you haven't heard from it, you can go back, and it's living on our podcast or on live stream right now to be able to listen to it. And Pastor Chris really talked about what it means to be encouragement. And it's not just encouraging somebody saying, hey man, you got this, but it's really sitting down with them and pointing them towards the reality of who Christ is in their lives and what Christ is trying to do. And Tychicus would take and convey what Paul is like and what he is doing despite the circumstances that he's in. Tychicus would go and encourage him and say, yeah, listen, Paul may be in prison, but I tell you what, those jailers are coming to know who Christ is. And he's using this to be able to encourage others. Like, listen, I'm taking these letters to you because I want you to know that Paul is praying for you. Despite the circumstances he's going for you, he cares for you. And this is another way that I can care for you as well. And you know, the other thing is that Tychicus tells the Tychicus story here is we have to care, we have to encourage, but it's the third part there that we have to always remember as well. And that is Paul asks Tychicus and has Tychicus pray for them. And Paul is praying for them. In verse 23 and 24, Paul literally prays for them. That's what this benediction is. Peace be with you. I'm praying for your peace. I'm praying that Christ will give you love and faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon you. He is literally praying for them. Listen, I hope and pray that you will understand this love and this grace that God has given you throughout this situation. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you, that there are some times that I have used that phrase, I'm praying for you. And sometimes I've used that phrase, I'm praying for you, and have completely forgot to pray for the person. Or even more humbling is that I've used that phrase, I'm praying for you, to just end the conversation. And I think maybe we've all been there. And God's been really nudging me in this. Because there is, he says, Anthony, you believe that there's power in prayer. Why aren't you praying for these people? And so I'm doing something. I'm actively doing something as a result. And somebody says, hey, will you pray for me? I'm going to do it right then and there. So this is a warning. Where if you see me on the streets, if you see me in my favorite place in Hoboken, Ben and Jerry's, you ask me to pray for you, I'm praying for you with that ice cream in hand. But what it would be like if we do that? It's communicating to you something that, you know what? Not only will I pray for you, but I'm going to take the moment to do it right now. I'm going to take the moment to do it right there. You can show them that you care for them in the moment for caring for them in the moment. One of the things I love is that Andy Stanley says, caring for someone is when you loan them your strength. And at that moment, I want to be able to loan you my strength. And that's what it means to pray for someone. Caring relationships are among the heart of God's purpose for the church. And you might not know how to pray for someone. You're like, Anthony, what do I say? Well, you know how to talk to a friend. I'm just asking you to talk to another friend on behalf of that person. If they're struggling through something, ask God to carry them through that. If they're working through something, ask God to help them work through that, and they don't have to be alone. I recently took over the role of care pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and what that means is that we're developing our resources and teams to be able to care and to pray for people well, and we want to be able to provide resources, and we want to be able to walk with you and pray with you during those times that you struggle, and we want to be able to make sure that one of our family members doesn't go to the hospital and that we have someone to visit with them. And why? Because that's what we're called to do. We are called to be a family. And a family cares for one another. And truth be told, as much as I want to, I can't care for all of you. As much as Pastor Chris wants to, he can't care for all of you either. But that's not what the scriptures are telling us to do. As a church, some one person doesn't care for all of us. But all of us can care for one person. And that's what he's hearkening us to you. He's saying, listen, I can't care for all of you, but Tychicus has cared for me, and you can care for one another. And he's saying, these are the ways that you can do it. You can care for them. You can sit with them and you say, hey, how are you doing? You can spend some time with them. You can give them that time. You can encourage them, or you can pray for them. And my encouragement to you is this, is that you can do this. You don't have to avoid this. You don't have to walk the other way. Because here's the truth. As I've been talking, somebody has been on your heart. Somebody has come to mind. As I've been working through this, you've thought to yourself, okay, there's somebody I know. It may be somebody that's sitting with you, it may be somebody in this room right now. And God's saying, you can do this. You can make the time. You can encourage them. You can pray for them. I mean, just imagine. Imagine for a moment if we were able to do that as a church. That we were able to sit and care for one another well. That would definitely turn some heads. We've put tools out there that are for you to be able to do this, right? Practical tools. You don't have to do this alone. One of the ways that I've seen a lot of care happen is in dinner groups. So I want to encourage you to explore that. You can explore it at the connection points. One of the other ways is we pray for you. That connection card gets prayed for each and every time that it gets turned in. We have elder prayer right after the service. Somebody will pray for you. But listen, there is a team that prays during the first service. There are things in place, but we can do better. We can care well. And that's what he's encouraging us to do. Think about this for a moment. That if we were to take what Paul is encouraging us to do, which is to care, which is to encourage, which is to pray for one another. If we were to say from right here, right now, and said, you know what, from this moment, despite my circumstances, I'm going to love the people who come through that door. I'm going to purposely go out of my way to greet someone who's sitting alone. I'm going to be intentional about praying for someone when they ask me to. I'm going to encourage someone who may need it today. If we all loved the way that Christ called us to love, imagine what we could do for the community. in closing, he talks about, Paul says in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, he says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. See, Christ came to serve and to love us and to save us. And if we're going to bear his name, if we're going to be his, as it says there, his dear children, then we have to love those well by caring for those around us. And my prayer for us today is that we will care for one another, not based on because we should. That's not what I wanted to say, but based because Christ called us back to him. That he adopted us back into this family. And since we bear his name, we bear his image, that we can love and care like he does. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing in the lives of our family and how you are encouraging us here today. And Father, my prayer really is for the people that are listening to this. Whether they're here today, whether they're watching on live stream, or whether they're listening on the podcast, that they will heed the call. And if they haven't trusted you yet, if they're not sure how they feel about you yet, that you will make yourself known to them. That if they're hurting or they're walking through something, that they don't have to do it alone. And that we who call ourselves followers of Christ, we who have walked into this relationship with Christ, we who have said, yes, you have rescued us and saved us from ourselves, that we will reflect you in everything that we do. And my prayer is also that you will encourage those who are listening today, that they will hear that, yes, that they can do this. Not on their own, but because of you. And that we can do this together. That we don't have to shy away from people who are struggling. That we can go into that with them. That we can walk alongside that with them. That we can say, hey, we care for you. We love you. And we are fighting for you. We are fighting with you. Because as a family, that's what we do. And so, Father, my prayer is that people will realize that. That we will know that we are not just attenders, but that we are family. And we are family because you didn't stop pursuing us. And we are family because you brought us into it. And when we say yes to you, we become part of an incredible family. With an incredible God who would stop at nothing to rescue his children. We thank you. We are overwhelmed by that. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.